Good evening. This is Till Death Do Us Part with Marilyn and Clarence Miles. I'd like to first thank everybody who has listened in, and people all over the world has listened in. We have people listening in from Australia, from Germany, all over the world. And so we're going to talk to the people tonight. I have a little something on my heart, and I'm hoping that we can encourage those who are listening. I'm watching people we love, respect, and adore getting divorces. We're watching that. And one couple in particular, I remember when we were going through, it was their marriage that kept me encouraged. And now we find out that they are moving toward a divorce. And that doesn't make me happy. And I never wanted Till Death Do Us Part to be super spiritual, right? Super spiritual. I wanted us to be down to earth. But tonight, I feel a need to talk to, in particular, I'd like to talk to Christians, people who say that they are born again. I'd like to talk to people who say they love the Lord with all their hearts, soul, and mind, and they trust the Lord. I want to talk to them. I want to understand how two people who love God can say goodbye to one another and say, I've had it. I don't want you anymore. Especially if there are no serious infringements of their trust. If there's no serious trust issues. And even if it is it possible that with God they can work it out? I was reading the definition of the kingdom of God. As a Christian, we are not supposed to live in this world system, this system of the world. The system of the world says, okay, you disagree, get a divorce. No negotiation. No forgiveness, no discussion, no communication, just say goodbye. Then, but that's the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God is a spiritual rule. It's a rule over the heart. It is mankind loving God enough to submit to his authority. And when I see these Christians getting divorced, I wonder what is their relationship with God like? What's going on?
Well, I was researching the meanings of humility, and I think that's lacking severely in mankind thinking, period. When I read some of the definitions, it's mind-boggling. One definition says, humility, the quality of not being proud because you are aware of your bad qualities.
Wow. Repeat that, Miles.
The quality of not being proud because you are aware of your bad qualities. And that's one of the hardest things to do in human thinking, because arrogance and humility is always battling each other. Arrogance wants to be right. Humility wants to humble himself and see when it's wrong. So it is easier, the arrogance is always easier than the humility. So the humility has to, the arrogance is stronger. So the humility has to fight harder to make it through.
Wow. Well, do you I really love that. And do you think that it is a lack of humility when we refuse to submit to God and his kingdom as Christians? Do you think that's a lack of humility when we refuse to submit to God? I want it my way. I know what God says, but instead of what God says, I want to do it my way because I'm the boss. Because I'm in authority. I'm Lord of my own life. What are you saying?
Why should you humble or submit to one that you feel is no smarter than you are, or no wiser than you are? Because some people think that they're as smart as the creator. Another definition of humility: the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others.
Yeah.
Nothing special. Arrogance. The law. Not trying to shift, but the law succeeds in their complicated criminals by arresting them because of their arrogance. It's that strong. When I tell you the story, when they asked, when the DEA, FBI asked they had a conversation and says, how do you catch a guy that's covered all his tracks and crossed all his T's and dotted all his I's, and he does everything right? How do you catch that criminal? And the FBI man said, arrogance.
Right.
Arrogance, because he, the criminal, when the criminal thinks he's smarter than the law, that's when he starts making mistakes.
And so what you're saying is, when the person or people involved think that they are smarter than God, then they end up at the divorce court.
Sure. It's smarter than anybody. Nobody can tell them anything. Right. It's smarter than everything. Nobody on the planet can tell them anything. They will argue with right if it smacked them in the face.
Wow.
And wow. There are people like that.
Right.
Don't want to get spiritual, but the Bible talks about when you look at wrong and call it right.
Right.
You lose the ability to determine which is which.
Right. Correct.
God takes the ability from you to determine and evaluate right from you. It's scriptural. So I'm going to take the when I get what I'm going to take from you, you won't have the ability to know what's right and wrong anymore.
That's because you're arrogant. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And when you think that you know, the scripture says a man is right in his own eyes,
mm-hmm.
in his own eyes. And I think when you sit down, one individual said to me, I listened to your podcast. And they said, I realized that I have not been listening to my husband, that I pointed my finger, I put my hands on my hips, but I did not understand where he was coming from. And once I humbled myself and got out of my way of thinking, we started listening to the podcast together.
Mm-hmm.
And my marriage has changed. And this is what I want to say. You have hit the nail on the head with humility and arrogance. A lot of times, and I know these people love the Lord. They do love God. But you have two people who say they love the Lord, and they each say they are right.
Well, they say,
what is wrong with that picture?
They'll say that they love a woman and smack her down to the ground and say, I love you. That is the power of arrogance. How arrogance just beat up on humility. In his heart, he may love the woman that he smacked down, but he listened to arrogance. He listened to
his own way of thinking.
Hatred.
Yeah.
And it took over and it won because he, in a lot of cases after he smack her down, he may start crying himself. And say, oh, I'm sorry. That's that battle going in, that battle in the soul where the evil is fighting what is right, and you listening to to evil and wicked.
Okay.
And you smack down what you love.
Right.
So you're looking simple now. When you look back at what you've done, you say, how did I do that? How did I do such a thing?
So what do you think at this point, if you were counseling, first of all, I don't know why any of them are leaving their spouses. All I know is their spouse loved the Lord and they love the Lord. And you and nobody can stand and say, well, you don't know, my husband doesn't love the Lord because he did such and such and such. You can't say that. Mm-hmm. What you can say is we are not communicating about what is the truth. And we need help on discerning what is the truth so that we can get to the bottom of the situation.
That's a person that desires to work it out. Either if you desire to work it out, you pursue solutions.
Right.
But if you don't desire or have a wish or want to work it out, then it's nothing two people can do. If I refuse to work it out, I refuse to listen to the solution. I refuse to submit, back to arrogance again, I refuse to humble myself to the instructions that will survive my marriage.
You know, there's a world system and there's a system that we supposed to live in with God. One thing I do know is God is not, when you say you are born again, when you say you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, then this world system, you do not behave like the world behaves. You must humble yourself. There is not arrogant. You cannot find arrogance in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God is humility. In the kingdom of God, you will not find arrogance. So therefore, based on what you said, and I totally agree with you, you hit the nail on the head. Based on what you said, I can say that my friends that are walking away without humbling themselves are not working their marriage in the kingdom of God anyway. That's what I can say. Because when you work the marriage in the kingdom of God, God can do anything. Miles, God healed you and I. And it's not always good. You're not always happy. I'm not always happy. Things aren't always perfect. But we have made a commitment based on the kingdom of God, living in the kingdom. And we have made a commitment till death do us part.
Mm-hmm. Well, humility don't come gift wrapped.
No,
it doesn't. From Amazon,
right.
on the porch.
Right.
At the door, the package on the porch.
Right.
Package of humility don't come like that.
Right.
You got to fight for it.
Wow. Wow.
You have to battle for.
Wow.
To be humble.
Wow.
It doesn't come easy.
Wow.
Because arrogance is always tapping you on the shoulder.
Wow.
You know, like the Bible says, the race is not given to the strong or to the swift, but those that endure to the end. So So arrogance is not impressed with how you take off and how fast you run. It's impressing when you endure. When I used to go to the racetrack to bet horses.
Right.
And they said, the horses are off. And my horse took off first that I betted on, took off fast first out the gate.
Right.
I would just start walking to the trash can and tap my ticket. Because the horse that wins always is the one behind that comes forward.
Mm. That's deep.
Always. That's very rare. Not all the time, but 90% of the time. The horse that wins is the ones that's coming up. It's coming up. Wow. Slowly but surely. He's slow walking the fast horse down and goes right on passing.
Wow.
9 times out of 10.
Right. So let me ask you a question. What does humility look like? If in two people, I was trying to figure out in my head, how does two people humble themselves? And the first thing I said to myself was, they have to listen. And I remember he passed on. The Black Eagle used to say, you listen with the third ear. And I believe you don't listen with your two ears, but I believe that third ear is the Holy Spirit. Listen with the ear of God and not your own ears. Hear what the Spirit has to say. Any other suggestions on how to become humble?
Well,
or what does humble humility look like in a marriage?
Some people say, we're in love, or I love her so much, or I love him so much. Sometimes I watch on the outside. I watch people, and sometimes you have to be able to determine if a person. What you feel is important to me.
Right.
How you feel is important to me.
Right.
Is priority, or is how you make me feel priority? There's a difference.
And repeat that. That's heavy.
You have to evaluate in a person, are they in love with how they make you feel? Or how you make me feel? Am I in love with how you make me feel?
Mm.
Or am I in love with how you feel?
Wow.
There's a difference.
There's a difference.
And one could be in love with how a person make them feel and not even know that they don't love the person that makes them feel good.
Oh, my God. No, you didn't say that.
With not even being aware.
Not even aware.
He's mesmerized by how this woman makes him feel, not even caring about how she feels.
Not caring at all.
All he knows is himself.
Wow.
And she makes me feel wonderful.
Wow.
And I'm so in love with her. But you're really in love with yourself because all you're concentrating on is how you feel.
Woo! That's heavy, Miles. Oh, that's a heavy hitter. You concentrating on how you feel.
You can go through a whole lifetime like that, a whole 50-year marriage, and not even know that you don't love that person.
You don't love that
person. You love yourself.
You love yourself.
Because she makes you feel good.
She makes you feel
good. You don't even care how she feels.
You don't care how that person feels. God, that's something. So you need to care.
You're not talking about sex.
I'm talking about sex.
360.
That's right. You know. You're talking about emotional, spiritually, just total package. Mm-hmm. I get it. Body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that was deep. That was profound. And so you're saying that it's all about him. It's all about them. Wow, Miles. It's all about how you make me feel. And I could care less about how you feel.
That was past relationships that I've had.
Yeah.
You know who.
Yeah.
It was all about. But with this marriage, it's about you.
Yeah.
It's about how you feel.
I can't hear you.
It's about how you feel.
I feel.
It's priority to me.
Right.
How you feel.
Right.
It's what's important.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Are you all right?
That's wow.
What's important to me.
That's
forget about how I feel.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
That's what I'm
and if you care about me like that, and I care about you like that.
It's perfect balance.
Oh man, then that's the way it goes.
That's
and so
that doesn't give arrogance or selfishness a chance.
Don't give it. Oh Miles, God, that was beautiful. It doesn't get. And then what happens is, I am attentive to you, and I am listening to you, without thinking about what I want to say. God, oh my God. If the way you broke it down is the way we should listen to one another. I listen to you regardless. It's all about what you have to say to me. It's not about when I listen, I should not be listening and anticipating what I'm going to say to you back. No, I want to know how you feel, Miles. What you're thinking? Did I hurt you? Did I hurt your feelings? How do you feel? What am I doing in this marriage to make you unhappy? And I'm to listen and don't even have an answer. Just listen. And then you do the same to me. Wow. Miles, you went deep. We can really turn this podcast off because you said it. You've just blown me away. It is about, you just said it is about me. Is that? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. It's about how I can control that better. I can control the love that better. I can control the love better if it's all about you and not me.
Wow.
I can never. The gray area can't take me down.
Yeah.
It was always about you.
That's right.
Always.
Right. Not putting myself first, but putting you first.
And if the needle moves towards me, then know it's moving in the wrong direction.
Wow. Wow. If the needle is moving towards me, I need to know that it's moving in the wrong direction. It's because I'm putting your needs first and you're putting my needs first. And we are thinking, I'm thinking about you first and you're thinking about me first. So that brings humility in this situation. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
It works both ways. I know that you're all about me. I know that. So I don't need to fix that.
Right.
I don't need to work on that. That is.
Amen. That is.
That is.
That's right.
So all I got to do is make sure I do what I got to do to make sure you okay.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful.
Because of who you are.
That's powerful. Amen. I love that. And you are absolutely right. All I want is for you to be first. You are first, and you know that.
Yes.
And I'm glad you know.
So
but I also know and I'm first with you.
Mm-hmm. So when a man or a woman fully understands that,
yeah,
and that's not enough,
mm-hmm.
then they are arrogant and wicked and don't even deserve who they with.
Mm.
If that's not enough for you, if that ain't enough, and that ain't enough for some people. Well, some people are I don't know the word for it. They've moved beyond arrogance and selfish. Right. They're in some other realm.
Right.
I don't even have a word for it.
Surely if they're Christians, they aren't in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry.
If love is not enough, and someone putting you before themselves.
Right.
If that's not enough, then I don't know. God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Right.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
If that's not enough for you.
Right.
Then you should burn in hell. If me loving you so much, and this is Christianity.
If
me loving you so much that I would go and take the penalty for your wrong and suffer and be hung on a cross and nailed to some wood for you.
And you
because of what you done, not for what I did,
right,
but for what you did,
right.
I'm taking the rap. And that ain't enough for you.
Yeah.
If you refuse that,
come on,
and deny that,
come on, Mom,
then you should go to hell.
And you can't do that for somebody else. That's the part that gets me. If you can't sacrifice for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
if you can't humble yourself and sacrifice for somebody else, don't say I do at all, ever, ever. Because the bottom line is this. When two born again believers, two, and you two love God, and you can't work out the problem, you can't listen, you can't see, you can't deal with the trauma. That, you know, one of the things the young lady said to me was, I knew that my husband had gone through something as a child, but he never told me the trauma until we listened together at your podcast. And I knew then and understood then his trauma. And together, we're working through that trauma that causes him to be where he is right now. That's what she said.
Mm.
And so if we see a problem in the marriage, then we should be able to, with all humility, humble ourselves, listen, and try to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can't work through it, I'm not condemning anybody to hell. I wouldn't do that, and I know that's not what you were doing. You were just saying, where's the love? Because 1 Corinthians 15 says you can burn your, give your body to be burned.
Well, hell could be anything.
And have not charity.
Yeah.
And you don't have love, you're sounding brass and the tinkling cymbal. But the conclusion of this whole matter is humility has confidence in oneself, because a humble person is a person that have confidence and is not threatened. threaten by doing good and listening to somebody else. That's what a humble person is not threatened by taking the low seat.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took the low seat. Sometimes you take the low seat. There's days when you take the low seat, and then there's days when I take the low seat. And you just have to, but my thing is, who are these people talking to? Who have counseled them? Who have they sat with to guide them through? You have to sit with someone to get guidance, and someone who makes sense, someone who lives in the kingdom to guide you and walk you through. Some people don't want it.
Well,
they just want to be,
that's right.
They just want to be proud and arrogant.
Yeah.
And then I'm the one being hurt. No, you are not the one being hurt. God is the one being hurt, because no one wants to be quiet and take the low seat. Go ahead, Miles.
It's people are uncomfortable with correct instruction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unusual for it. This happens in childhood, just like when you tell your grandmom say, or your mama say, sit on them steps and don't you go nowhere. You know, yeah. You just can't wait to get off the steps. I mean, it looks like the steps burning you up.
Right.
It's just human nature, you know. Yeah. But at some point, it is your human task or your human should be your goal to find out where you are. To figure out where you are, what direction you're going, and try to go in the right direction.
Yeah.
In this walk.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't keep walking the wrong way, unless knowing that you're going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Unless you just want to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah. I think
you think that nobody would want to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But some people do.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, God knows how to restore a relationship and make you love that person more than you ever could. But we don't trust God to help work the relationship out. We want to be the one that is the victim. You know, I'm the victim. The arrogant one is the victim. As arrogant as you are, you call yourself a victim. You know, the one thing I do want to say is the other thing that, you know, if you can find one thing you're grateful for in your marriage, just one, you can hold on. You really can.
Amen.
If you can express gratitude for one thing, I am so thankful. If there was nothing else in our marriage that I was grateful for, I'm grateful that I am your sugar worker. Because in that, and I know this may sound crazy on the podcast, but that's what you call me. I'm your sugar worker. And every time you call me sugar worker, if you notice, you're doing something for me. You're helping me during a difficult time. And so I'm thankful for you assisting me when my times are difficult. Now, you might make me angry down the road 2 minutes from now, maybe doing something that maybe, you know, got on my nerves. But I always go back to what you do for me in my darkest times, in my heaviest times. And you are there in my heaviest times. And so when you can think of gratitude, If you were to think of something, if you could thank God for something about me, you would always say to yourself, nope, that part of her I love.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so just thinking of one thing, you know, and I think on a daily basis, a husband and wife should just say in the atmosphere, I'm so grateful for what you did. I'm so grateful for what you do. I'm so grateful for who you are. One of the things, you know, you are a kind, humble man. There's no guile in you. Anything you do, if you make somebody upset, it's not because you intended to, because you have a good heart. And that is something I am, every day I thank God for, is your good heart. And everybody loved Miles. And everybody loved Miles because Miles has a good heart. Go ahead, Miles.
Oh, I'm about done.
Okay,
I'm done.
Okay.
I think we've covered a lot of areas.
I think we covered a lot of areas. I would close in saying that Miles and I do not mind counseling anyone, and we don't charge. If you want to spend time sitting and talking with us, what do you say, Miles?
I say, well, you have to give them the method of contact.
Yeah, just give us a call. Give us a call. We are here to be here for you. You can email us at TIL, Death Do Us Part, 1995@gmail.com. Just leave your number. And I promise you, we will return your call, set up a time when you and your spouse can come talk with us, or you can just come talk with us, and we'll try to assist you. But if you live in the kingdom, fight like you live in the kingdom. Don't fight like you live in this world system. Fight for your marriage. And don't give up. And I don't, you know, don't give up so easily. You know, there's time for separation. Absolutely. But in the time of separation, why can't you get counseling? Why can't you talk with someone? But the key to what Miles has shared today is critical. And that is, what, Miles? Humility.
That you could be in love with yourself and not know it.
That's right.
One could be mesmerized by how the other makes you feel, as opposed to how the other person feels.
Amen.
Their priorities are not the same as yours. You might think that they are, but you're selfish.
Yeah.
You know, you. She could have other children. You don't consider what she's going through.
Right.
All you know is that they're disturbing you.
Right.
Right. But they're a part of her.
Right.
She loves them.
Wow.
And they should be a part of you if you love her.
That's right.
Just an example.
Yeah, sure. And I'm going to end with this. Use kind language. Don't cuss each other out. Don't call each other names, but use kind language. You can imagine the Christians that say horrible things to one another. Use kind language. Well, this is the end of our program for today.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank you for listening.
Hope we help somebody.
We hope we help someone. Miles, do you think we should give them the number to the church?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to give you the number to our ministry. Okay? Just in case you need to call us. Give us a call at 215-729-0374. I repeat, 215-729-0374. Clearly leave your name and your number, and we will give you a call back. We promise, okay? And we'll talk with you, and we'll share with you, and we'll walk you through whatever you need to walk through. But we are here for you. We love you with the love of the Lord. And until next time.
So long.
So long.